The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View this morning, which celebrates the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we'll hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Maybe you're a waiter who's always wanted to be a celebrity, or you're a celebrity who's always wanted to be a waiter. Perhaps you've been a celebrity waiter and want to do it again, or just maybe you've never been either one but would like to try your 15 minutes of fame in front of an audience. The Spirit Center's 8th annual Celebrity Waiter Dinner fundraiser, titled Noche Cubana Tropical, is set for April 16th, that's after tax time, at Corpus Christi Country Club. This is your big chance to be a celebrity waiter, help raise funds for the Blunzer Spirit Center Retreat Complex, and be where everybody knows your name. Remember, the best way to get noticed is to help others. To volunteer or get more information, call Sylvia at the Spirit Center, 888-7537. You'll always remember the night you were a celebrity waiter for the Spirit Center, 888-7537.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this Sunday morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. And yourself?
Fine, thank you. Had a good week. And you?
Good. Very good week as well. And greetings to all of our listeners out there. And it's been a while since I've greeted my friends at St. Dismas Community and others who may be incarcerated at this time. And just to let you know that my prayers are always with you.
Oh, I think it's wonderful that you're able to go and visit them. And I know they appreciate it. Our prayers are with them also.
Good.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this Sunday's gospel is a short gospel, but it certainly has some very significant themes in it.
Well, it does, and it's the two basic characteristics, really, of who we are. And, you know, many of us have heard some rather new terminology, I guess I would say, from the apostolic letter from Pope Francis on evangelization called the Joy of the Gospel. And one of them is that he kind of takes, I guess you might say, some of the terminology that was developing with Pope Paul VI and then Pope John XXIII and then his own language and putting it all together and really calling us missionary disciples. Sometimes we talk about being followers of Christ, and a follower just kind of just pats along and does their thing. And a disciple, though, is one that's committed and one that constantly is in a growth pattern of life, because it's something that we forget, we especially in our system, in our religious life, of the sacraments, that we think they're kind of benchmarks along the way, and I've got my sacraments and I'm done. I've mentioned this before. But no. Those sacraments are there to enrich our lives, to bring us to a fruitfulness as missionaries. And so the Holy Father, in his apostolic exhortation, on the new evangelization, says that we are missionary disciples. We're not only committed to Christ, but we have to be missionaries and bring that message to all. And so this simple gospel today, one that we all know, again from the Sermon on the Mount, emphasizes those two characteristics, that we are salt and we are light. And perhaps this morning we can just look at, you know, what those two really mean for right. a Christian and for a person who is living their faith as a missionary disciple of Jesus Christ.
Well, of course, you think of salt, and I was doing some reading on this, and it brought that term that we've heard so many times people say, he's just the salt of the earth.
Right. Yeah. And that has, you know, kind of the meaning, I guess, that you're really a person that everybody can relate to,
right.
I guess, in many ways. One of the first things that I'd like to point out as far as the salt goes is that it was always seen as probably the purest of elements. And salt kind of had that sense of purity. It was white. It was a natural element that comes from the earth, and that Jesus could refer to this salt as of us, that we are the salt, that we need to be pure in all things. Last 2 weeks ago, I was at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Academy visiting the classrooms and had Mass with them in the morning. And it dawned on me in preparing and in presenting the homily that it was a Friday, first of all, which is a day that we remember always that Jesus died for us on Friday. And so it kind of has a characteristic of penance and recognizing our sins, and certainly the Psalms and the other prayers of the day of Friday bring that to light, that we have sinned against God. But we're called to be salt. And so I think, you know, the thing that dawned on me in preparing for that homily was that in the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, that there are a few things that where we have sinned. We sin in our thoughts, in my thoughts, and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. So I was pointing out there's four things. There's thoughts. We can sin in our thoughts, thinking ill of others, plotting against others. Whatever. There's so many things that we could look at there in our words, that sometimes those things come to be incarnated in our words. So we lash out against people, we gossip about people, we lie about people, we lie about things in what we have done, so we can offend God and others through our actions, whatever those are. But also, and I believe it was St. Augustine who said, when I approach God, I will not fear what I have done, but what I have not done. And there we go back to the missionary disciple, the one that sits on their hands, whose faith life is just a showing up and joining in the crowd, but not committing themselves. You know, it's what I have not done. We need to look at what am I not doing that I could be doing in my faith life. We live in a world that really is lowering the standards of human existence, for one thing, but especially of religious existence. We lower the standards. We accept so much today, you know, deceit and cunning. How can I get around this? How can I get around that? Or the selfishness that is rampant in our lives, the moral decline, what's accepted today by people as moral, you know, according to the objective truth of the gospel and the moral teaching of the church, is certainly not acceptable. And so there are all these things that in a world that is lowering its standards day by day, we're salt. We have to be that purity of living the gospel, living the life of love, of hope, of faith, and these things. So there's a purity of life that is required of us that comes with living the gospel.
You know, I wanted to, when you were talking about the four things and the last one being what I failed to do, I was thinking about that voice that's probably telling us to do things, mm-hmm. and we're pushing it to the back
right,
of our mind.
Right.
We know
tomorrow,
we should be doing
yeah,
it,
yeah,
and
yeah.
for our faith life.
Right. And that sentence from Psalm 16 of you, Lord, are my only good, that can generate so much life and response, as you said. Mm-hmm. We know we should be doing something, but we listen to ourselves and say, nah, or our laziness instead of you, Lord, are my only good. That's the purity of life that can either keep us away from doing something that is evil or morally wrong, but also motivating us to do what is good if the Lord is our only good. And the other thing that I would like to point out, of course, salt preserves in so many ancient cultures, and even in our own, with certain meats, we can use salt to preserve. So we look at the fact that we are here to preserve the life of Christ. If we live in the midst of a world such as ours, we preserve his presence through our own living out of his gospel. But finally, and probably the one that we most associate with salt is the flavor that salt can give. And to all the medical profession, I'm sorry, but it is
flavor.
It is flavor, and it is wonderful. My grandmother was told years ago when she first had her heart condition that she would have to give up salt, and she said, I'd rather die. I'm not giving up salt. But if you've been asked to by the doctor, that's the will of God, so please follow that. But we all know that salt does give a flavor to food and to life. A little side note, I put it on apples, and I know that people cringe when they see it on an apple, but it's wonderful. But the flavor that we are to give is the flavor of faith, the flavor of hope, and the flavors, above all, of love. A few weeks ago, I was referring to being at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and in the classroom, a young girl said to me, it was the gospel of the seed being planted by the farmer who doesn't watch, who the seed, when watered and sun, it grows on its own and you don't even see it. And I said, you know, that's like faith. When you live your life, the faith grows, and you need to keep living your faith. And later I went to the classroom, and she said, does that apply to love too? And I said, oh, my gosh. Fourth grade.
She was listening.
Fourth grade. I said, yes, mm-hmm. If you love more and more and more, it grows and grows and grows. And if you hope mm-hmm. more, if you have hope and never give in to despair, never give in to the difficulties of the world, and to see how awful the world can be at times, also the beautiful things that are happening in the world. So never to give in to this despair. Faith, hope, and love, that's ours to preserve and to keep in life. And it brings flavor to people's lives. I mean, how many times we've seen people that are kind of down and out, but they meet someone who has faith, who loves them, and it kind of brings something out of them. Yeah. And the final thing that the real quality of that flavor is joy. You know, I know I've said it here before. I'll repeat it again. In the apostolic letter, the Holy Father uses the word sourpusses, that we don't need a bunch of sourpusses in our world. We need people of joy who know the life of Christ, who know what it means to have faith, who live a life of love and reaching out beyond themselves to others. And in all of that, produce hope for our sterile world. And so we are salt. That is who we are, to purify ourselves through the word, to live in a sinful world at times, preserving the true flavor of Christian life, of faith, hope, and love, and doing all that with great joy.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on the gospel. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Children, such a blessing. In fact, the procreation of children is one of the main reasons God created marriage. Those blessed with the ability to have children must know that parenting is a huge responsibility and a pleasure at the same time. With God's help, the teachings of the church, and the gift of married love, those are the keys to what the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Natural Family Planning class is all about. Classes are held periodically at 1426 Baldwin in Corpus Christi. Attending this two-hour class at least 3 months prior to the wedding date should be a priority. To register for the next class, visit diocesecc.org/natural-family-planning. To hear about other marriage prep events, call Beth at the Diocese Chancery Office, 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about salt and how we as Christians need to be salt. And the second part of this gospel talked about you are the light of the world. So that brings up a whole new discussion there.
Right. So the first part really with the salt is to really live and to be a flavor, the flavor of Christ in our world, and to bring faith, hope, and love where there is none. And I will recall very easily the words of St. John of the Cross, who said, where you find no love, put love, and there you will find love. And that's who we are. That's mm-hmm. what it means to be mm-hmm. salt. Where there is no faith, put faith. Live your faith, and there will be faith. There will be a rebirth of faith. Or where there is no hope, be hope for others. And there's hope. Hope comes back. But we're the ones that carry that. We are the salt of the earth in the midst of a world. Anyone that believes in the words of God, that's our responsibility as missionary disciples. The second one is then to see that we are the light of the world. The point here is we're a light to be seen. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. so often our country and our kind of mentality is to privatize religion. We don't take our faith out into the marketplace. We don't take our faith into the sports arena or wherever we are at school. You know, it's something private and personal. And that's not what's said here. You are the light of the world that must be seen. And so the Christian, the man and woman of faith, has to be seen by everyone. It's not just a church thing that I go and do some kind of a religious duty for 1 hour on Sunday. But no. Ite missae est. The Mass has ended. Go.
24/7.
24/7 of bringing the light that is Christ in our life, the light of faith, to wherever we are, to be seen. Now, again, we can get a little too zealous and we're too seen. That's not mm-hmm. what Jesus means. He wants us to be transparent. He wants us to be authentic. Men and women, young people, children of faith, to be who we are. And to live that. And that begins to be then a guide to others. Not that, again, that we have it and others don't. I mean, that can be a religious pride that I have it and you don't.
Right.
But we're there to guide by our own life, to be seen and to help others. And also, in many cases, to be a warning, you know. Again, not pointing out people's faults to them at all, but simply by our own life is to inspire others, to warn them against a type of life which would be harmful to them and for their future, but also for eternity. And so this whole experience of being a Christian and following Christ is to live that faith in such a way that it's seen, that it guides people, and it can be like a beacon of warning and of hope to so many other people.
I know that I have seen in my own parish and people that I've worked with, you can see people that have that beacon.
Right.
You know, that are just, they walk the talk.
Right.
Because they do. You know, and they're just a joy to be around.
Sure. And I think if you ask people, you know, what is it that is that mm-hmm. joy? What is that salt, that light in your life? It's because they've adhered to what they have read in the sacred scripture. I think I'd like to just refer to two of the other two readings today because, and actually the psalm too, Psalm 112. It's so beautiful in this whole arena of living our faith and living as light, living as salt to others. Mm-hmm. The prophet Isaiah today says, "Thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry." You know, this is mm-hmm. what Jesus was brought up in. So when he says that if I was hungry and you gave me food, he knew that even from Isaiah, back in the early prophets, shelter the homeless and the oppressed. Clothe the naked when you see them. Do not turn your back on your own. Reach out to them. And so this is what gives us the way to live, reaching beyond ourselves into the needs of others. And Isaiah says a beautiful thing here. Once, you know, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, and do not turn your back on your own. And the conclusion of that, the result of that, then he says, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Hmm. In other words, don't be telling other people to do it. You go feed the hungry and do these things. Then in the darkness of life, your own life, but others, your light will shine. Not because you said anything, or not because you're more special than anyone else, but you've lived the commandments of God. And your wound will be quickly healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. You know, we've said this several times. You know, if we don't live as these missionary disciples, when we knock, the Lord will say, I don't even know who you are. Who are you? Who are you?
It's a scary thought.
If we can live our life in the midst of this this world, live as Christ has taught us to live, live as the prophet Isaiah and so many others have said, just live as God lives, reaching out to others, we're recognized and we're heard, and we bring others to God as well. The whole theme of light is also present in Psalm 112. With the response, the just man is a light in the darkness to the upright. The light shines forth in the darkness. Evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steadfast, and he's not fearful. This is the result of being a light to others. And so the prophet Isaiah today continues that theme, and the psalm response responds to that. And then we come to the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And St. Paul, you know, he's one of the people I want to meet when we get to heaven after so much inspiration that he is and the Word of God. But he said when he's writing to the Corinthians, which was a very difficult place, and a lot of the things that I was talking about with our world today were present back then in Corinth. It was a place where all sorts of people were passing in and out, and certain commerce, and you know, it brings all sorts of social problems with it. But he said, in writing back to the Corinthians, he says, "When I came among you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom." In other words, not beautiful speech. "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ." So he came to live Jesus Christ in their midst, and him crucified. "And I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So that part of the life. "I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom," not with a lot of rhetoric, "but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." You know, the word words today are very, very powerful, and we always have to be careful that we don't listen to powerful words and be so enamored with the ideas that are presented to us, with the thought, but with the real situation. In other words, as you said, walk the talk, that our life, our witness to Christ backs up the words that are spoken. And Pope Francis said very clearly in that apostolic exhortation on the joy of the gospel that we who are proclaimers of the word, ministers of the word, deacons, priests, bishops, But also those catechists teaching in our CCD programs and parents, that if we're going to present the gospel to others, we better be living it ourselves. Because if we're, St. Paul says, I didn't come just to give you words. I didn't come to teach you what to do. I came to witness to who I am in the word. So it was not with fancy speech, but with commitment in the spirit. And that's what Jesus is speaking of here with both the salt and the light, that the light has to be seen, not in word, but in action as well. And this is what I really hope for all of us in the diocese and throughout, is that we can live what we believe, and that that life that we are called to by embracing the word will so transform our daily life that our words become words that are laced with beauty and tenderness, as we talk about today, that our actions truly are the actions of God's hand in the world today, and that our thoughts are pure, that we're not holding on to evil thoughts, we're not holding on to evil intentions or bad thoughts about anyone, but that our whole self is transformed. So that the more that happens on the interior of our life, again, going back to the word of life, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God, that the more that transformation takes place inside of us, the brighter our light is on the outside, the more Christ is seen in us, the more salt we can give to a distasteful situation or distasteful place. So, let us all live as we are called to live our faith, to be salt to our brothers and sisters and light to the world.
A lot for us to reflect on this week, Bishop. If you could close our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.